Matthew 13 and verse 3. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow, and when he had sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth. Forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them, but other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some sixtyfold, some thirtyfold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now look in verse 18, if you will, in the same chapter, verse number 18. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When any one heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in their heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it, yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that received seed into good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, bringing forth some an hundred, some 60, some 30. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this wonderful story. And Lord, you are and were and still are the master teacher. Thank you that you did not just give us this parable, but you supplied for those who would wish to be disciples the interpretation of this parable. I pray, Lord, that this would be an encouragement to Blessed Hope Baptist Church tonight, and Lord, also something that would help us in the days ahead, Lord, as we stay busy sowing the seed of the word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. It's about 13 after. I promise, and I will keep my promise, about 23 after. I am going to have you bow your head and pray, and then we will give the invitation. Because I'm going to preach a very short time, I would ask, please, for all of your attention, your undivided attention. I want to preach a message tonight that I've entitled, Why I Won't Stop Sowing. Why I Won't Stop Sowing. Now, I'm going to start out with a confession. There are times that I'm tempted. I'm sorry, and I'm sorry to say this, but there's times that I'm tempted to quit sowing the good seed of the gospel, the good seed of the word. Maybe that's a horrible admission for a pastor to make, but I hope that you understand that just because a man became a pastor does not mean that he stops being a human being. And there's several things, several valleys, several dark places that from time to time I don't mean to get to, but I find myself there. And it seems like the devil, because of maybe my lack of diligence and not being careful not to get to those places, just seems to have increased opportunity in my heart, my mind, to discourage me about the ministry, to discourage me about soul winning, discourage me about running buses, to discourage me about all that we're doing here. There are definite reasons that I think that I at times am tempted to quit sowing the seed. First of all, let me just give you some of those reasons. I jotted them down in my office. The amount of work that's involved compared to the amount of fruit that's produced. I'll be honest with you, it's a discouraging thing at times. The number of people you witness to compared to the number of people that get saved. That's not an encouraging statistic. And by the way, this is something that you're going to have to come to grips with. One of the purposes of this parable is to teach us, folks, that most of our sowing and most of our labor is not going to reap a harvest when it comes to the actual change in people's lives. Here is a farmer that goes out and sows, and do you realize that three-quarters of his harvest, three-quarters of his effort, three-quarters of his sowing produces absolutely zero results, zero fruit. Now, I think God put that in there because he wanted us to understand that. Hey, Christians, are you listening? Are you getting this? And sometimes we just say, well, we're just not seeing much produced from that ministry, soul winning door to door, this is where the arguments come by the evangelicals. They don't work anymore. It's not producing the results it did at one time. Well, folks, do you realize the harder and the colder and the more close and the more closely we get to the coming of Jesus Christ, we are not becoming more, this nation is not becoming more tender to the gospel, it's becoming more hardened to the gospel. And it is harder. I mean, we are not seeing the percentage of success right now that we've seen even 30, 40 years ago, when you would go out and do the same amount of soul winning, same amount of track distribution, same amount of invitations to church. People's heart are being turned farther and farther away from God. Preparations are being made for the Antichrist to come, and he will be embraced in a very short amount of time by all of those that are left after the rapture, folks, or most of them. And so we're already seeing what the Bible calls the spirit of Antichrist that is coming into this world. And it makes it hard on those of us that are trying to get the gospel out, because it gets discouraging. You know, I think here in the last several weeks, of all of the visits I made and all the people I talked to and all the times that I was able to share the gospel or my testimony and all the tracts, and it's easy sometimes for the devil to say, you're just wasting your time. Because most of the seed that we're sowing nowadays, probably much more than 75%, are falling on the hearts of people whose hearts are hard. And you know what? They won't even receive it at all. Or it falls upon people who have so many complications in their life. Their ground has become so stony. They have no depth within themselves. Their lack of character, their lack of belief in God, the effectiveness of the humanism machine that's brainwashed several generations down, how deep-rooted it is into their thinking. And it seems like that those things just make it difficult for the seed to produce any kind of fruit. And then the world, the cares of this world, and the pleasure-mad mentality of this time and age just makes it so that many times, even when the seed receives and finds soil and springs up just some, those cares and those poor priorities choke out, and it just seems like there's not a whole lot of fruit produced. And that's why at times I feel like, you know what, I don't really even know if it's worth it. Second reason I jotted down here, the amount of personal disappointment that comes with sowing. You know, folks, you spend a lot of time as a preacher and as a bus worker, as a Sunday school teacher, and as a Christian layman. If you're doing what you ought to do, you spend a lot of time investing in people's lives. And you know what? I can tell you this. My wife can tell you this true. She knows this intimately. I would hate to think. As a matter of fact, I would never go down that road. I would never want to calculate the number of hours in the last 5 years that I've invested in people that basically took every bit of my investment and at some point just threw it away. And that's very hard. That's hard when you're working on somebody. You know, a Sunday school teacher, you had that young person come in or the child come in, and boy, it just seemed like, you know what, they got saved and they got excited, and you think, you know what, boy, you know what, it is worth it. It is worth it. And you invest and you go extra and you do the visiting and you disciple and you get them starting to read their Bible and prayer. But it seems like maybe 3 months, 4 months, 6 months. And by the way, this doesn't happen all the time. Thank God there's right in this room fruit that remains. But I'm just saying, folks, the character level of the average American is just not there like it used to be 50 years ago. Did you see the interpretation where it says that he that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word and anon with joy receiveth it, yet hath he not root in where? Himself, but dureth for a while. You know what? The depth of character that was in the lives of my father's generation compared to the lives of my grandchildren's and children's generation is from night to day. And a lot of times, folks, I do believe they genuinely accept, they genuinely receive the word. But you know what? Their character is such that they've quit everything in their life they've ever done. They haven't stuck with anything. The least little offense comes, either happens in the church or it happens outside the church because someone finds out they're a Christian. And they fold like a lawn chair. They throw in the towel. They give up. They quit. That's not anything wrong with God. That's something wrong with a generation that has no depth within themselves. Some of you young people are in the habit of quitting about everything you've ever started. You ain't going to amount to a hill of beans. I'm telling you right now, you can go around and blow your trumpet, beat your chest, and talk about all that you're going to accomplish. But you know what? You've built a pattern of quitting everything you've ever started. And we've got an entire generation with that mentality. When the going gets tough, the wimps quit. Becomes a little inconvenient, we'll just stop. We'll just give up. The problem is that's the character level of the majority of our new converts. And so that's what you're dealing with. That's the reality of it. And that's discouraging. I could stand here and name names if I wanted to of people in the last 5 years that I've put hundreds of hours into that won't even darken the door of a church now. And sometimes the devil comes in those dark times, those discouraging times, and said, "Preacher, what are you doing? You're wasting your time. Why make that extra visit? Why hit one more street? Why even carry gospel tracts? Why even get excited when somebody gets saved? They're probably ain't going to pan out anyway." I mean, it's amazing what the devil will do to me, and if he's doing it to me, I have a feeling he's probably doing it to you too. Okay, so sometimes I'm tempted to quit. Number three, the amount of demonic attacks that come with the decision to sow. You know, you decide to get in the sowing of the seed business, and you just become, you go up way up on the list of Satan's target list. He's going to target you, he's going to target your wife, he's going to target your family. And you know what? Sometimes I get tired of being attacked. I'm just telling you. I get tired of the constant demonic attacks that come individually in my life and sometimes in the life of my children and my wife. And sometimes I just think to myself, maybe it'd be easier just to kind of back up and back off a little bit. I mean, you know what? Join the rest of the folks that's kind of waved the white flag and say, "Hey, Jesus is coming anyway pretty soon. He'll get us out of this mess. Let's just coast to the finish line." I know that's a terrible mindset, but you know, the devil comes in those times and just says, "You know what? Don't put in the hours you used to put in. Don't make the visits you used to make. Don't spend the hours on your knees you used to spend. Because you know what? The world doesn't care anymore, and people don't want to be saved anymore." I mean, boy, the devil can get on top of us and sometimes ride us and just dig in both spurs, and boy, he can make it so that we just feel like, you know what? Maybe this week I'm just not going to worry about it. Now, you say, "Preacher, thank you. You've spent the first 10 minutes of your time fully discouraging us. Thank you very much." But the name of the message is Why I Won't Stop Sowing. Why I Won't Stop Sowing. And folks, even though all of those things are true, and probably more things that I could list, you know what? We as Christians cannot afford to stop sowing the seed. The seed needs to be sown more now than it's ever needed to be seed. Sown in the history of the United States of America, maybe the history of the world. Because I believe that people who get saved now not only miss an eternity in hell, but they probably miss going through the tribulation period. Listen very carefully. Let me give you some reasons why I won't stop sowing. You know what? Because I have a command of the Master. The Bible says that He said, Jesus said to them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." He doesn't say do it until it gets hard, or do it till they won't listen, or do it till you don't have the results you used to have, or do it until your bus attendance drops, or do it until something happens in the church that discourages, or do it until people while people are appreciating it, but you can stop when they quit. No, He says, just go do it. Amen. Do it. And as a born-again Christian, folks, who've pledged my life to obey my Master, I really don't have any other choice. So it doesn't matter how discouraged Jerry Ross gets. You know what? Jesus said, go. I've got to go. I've got to go. You know why? Because I have the command of the Master. Let me give you the second reason why I won't stop sowing. Because of the power of the seed. Now, it does not state it here in Matthew, but let me read it, a verse from Mark 4:14, and the interpretation there. It's a little short verse. Here it is. The sower soweth the word. So in this parable, the seed represents the word of God. And I want to encourage you. As discouraging as it gets sometimes, listen, folks, we may not have the power we used to have, and we may not have the strength we used to have, but the Word of God has not diminished in power or strength one bit. And you know what? I'm going to keep preaching the Bible even when I don't feel like preaching the Bible, because I still see the Bible change lives. And I'm going to still keep sharing the gospel even when I don't feel like sharing the gospel, because the gospel has power. It has power. It's part of the sacred Word of God. It's part of the seed that needs to be sown. And even when I don't feel like I have much strength or charisma or drive left, I still see God take my weakness and the power of the Word and take the power of the Word of God and still change people's lives. That's a very exciting thing. I'm not going to stop, because you know what? This gospel, this Bible needs to be preached to the ends of the earth. And if it's going to be preached to the ends of the earth, it's got to start by being preached to the ends of this community. We've got to take responsibility to saturate our Jerusalem with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me give you another reason that I won't stop sowing. Number three, the eternal life gained by the recipients. I'm not going to get into a discussion or try to even tell you, because I guess if you listen to 10 different preachers, you might get 10 different opinions on that. I've heard some preachers try to take this parable and decide which of these people were truly saved and which were not. I really believe that the teaching of this parable, the interpretation, has to deal more with the hearts of men and how receptive the hearts are to the gospel. I don't even know if it's about salvation as much as it is about what happens when a person receives the Bible and does not receive the Bible as it's preached or taught, whether they're saved or lost. Because, by the way, Christians can be hard-hearted. There's sometimes you sow seed on the heart of a Christian and the ravens take it away. You know why? Because they've already predetermined. They're not going to hear it. It's not going to affect them. So don't just say, well, that's talking about a lost person. Well, then I could introduce you to several Christians it's talking about too. See, it's not what it's about, but let me just say this. Every single person that trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ, accepts the gospel, comes under conviction of sin, and feels the wooing of the Father, and embraces the gospel by faith, and cries out for salvation, gets saved. Every single one. Every single one. Now, if you're going to say, well, yes, but they also have to, then you just started down the work salvation road, and you better be careful heading down that road. If Lot lived in this community, most of you would have decided a long time ago that he wasn't saved, that he was a lost person. And I will tell you that this is true. Brother Reiser talked to a man this week. I find people on a regular basis as I'm knocking on doors that say, when I ask them if they've ever been saved, they'll say, Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I say, you know what? I came there as a child in Vacation Bible School. And yes, I got saved at Vacation Bible School, Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I'll say, are you going to church anywhere? And they'll kind of hang their head. Well, no, I know I really ought to. Folks, I know that every one of us would like to see every person that's saved, every single one of them, just go hog wild and all the way and jump in the deep end of the pool. I understand that. But can I say this, whether they do that or not, if they trusted Jesus as their Savior, they are saved. And so there's a lot of people out there that are not producing fruit in their life, but that doesn't mean that they're not saved. Okay? And, you know, the two types of soil in the middle there, both of them are said to have received the Word. And new life sprung forth. But they didn't ever get to the point where they grew enough to start producing fruit to their own account and to the glory of God. Let me remind you that John chapter 1 verse 11 and 12 says, He came into His own and His own received Him not, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. As many as received Him. Now, I will balance what I just taught you with the idea and the biblical basis that we're taught that, you know what, someone who's truly converted, their life is going to produce some type of change and some type of fruit. I get that. But a lot of you were not saved in the circumstance that some of these bus kids get saved in. It's easy to say, get on a judgmental high horse, say, well, where are these kids? You know what, why don't you go with the bus workers and go find out where they're at? It's not that some of them don't want to come, but when they started coming and started changing, parents got scared. They want them to get enough religion so that they're not as bad as they used to be, but they don't want them to become a fanatic. And bus workers all over this auditorium could stand up and tell you story after story after story about a young person that truly got saved, started to change, started to go, and parents shut it down and shut it off, and you're not going to that church anymore. And you know what? Don't come to me and tell me they didn't get saved because they're not here four times a week and they're not going to soul winning and they're not. You're not out on the front lines or I wouldn't have to have this discussion with you. Okay? But what I'm saying is this. Every single one that received the gospel and received Christ has eternal life. Amen. Whether it all pans out the way I wish it would pan out in their life, you know what? There was a new name written down in glory. One of these days, we're going to have an eternity to rejoice over the fact that we didn't quit sowing the seed. Let me give you the last thought. the productivity of the few. Why won't I stop sowing? Because of the productivity of the few. And I love verse 23, and this is what you got to hang your hat on. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth an hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. Now, according to this parable, we're talking about 25% of the ground. Like I said, I think that's probably even diminished in these last days. But you know what? Every time I get discouraged about the 75, 80, 85, 90% of wasted, supposedly wasted time, seemingly wasted effort, thank God I can still look at the 5 or 10 or 15% of changed lives. Of changed lives. You say, well, we wasted all that other seed. Well, if these that do produce are bringing forth 100-fold and 60 and 30, that's still a pretty good return, Brother Jack. And the honest truth is, folks, if you'll study this out in the Bible, it's never been the vast majority of the people that are choosing the right way and are embracing the gospel. The Bible talks about two ways, a narrow way and a wide way. And so there's a very few that find the right way and a whole lot that head down the narrow way. Look at the Old Testament. It's always been a remnant. It's always been a small number. But I'm going to tell you what, you also do your study and you'll find it's amazing what God's able to do with a small number of people. See, folks, we don't have to have hundreds. Just give me this one here, every once in a while, one here that doesn't just get saved. Doesn't just come for a short time afterwards. But next thing you know, you begin to see the genuine change in their life. And it doesn't last just for 3 months or 6 months or a year. I mean, year after year, they grow in grace and they begin to develop. And this church has been blessed in its 38 years history to watch us reach people in the bus ministry and on door-to-door soul winning and through big days and spring programs and master's clubs and Sunday schools and all of the nets that we throw out there. And every once in a while, God gives us those pearls of great price that get it. They get into it all the way. Circumstances are right. Their heart's right. Their life begins to produce fruit. And by the way, just a handful that grab a hold can produce and produce and produce and produce. So I look at the supposed wasted seed, and then I look at the great, great harvest, the great bin, grain bin filled from a few that got it. And I say this, you know what? I think I'll just keep sowing. Let's just have one more spring program. Let's just go for one more big day. Who knows who will walk in amongst the 501? Wonder if a Paul Chapman might walk in amongst the 501. Wonder if a Lacey Hall might walk in amongst the 501. Wonder if a Levi Hall might just walk in amongst the 501. You don't know who might walk in that door. Let's just stay with it, shall we? Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for allowing us this time together. Lord, you're a good and gracious God. Lord, the honest truth is, at best we're dust, and at times, Lord, I'm afraid, dear God, we just allow our own carnality to become our greatest enemy. And Lord, I know, dear God, that oft times I give place to pity when I should not give place to pity. And Lord, the devil knows that we're all susceptible to discouragement. And Lord, with the amount of work that we put in, sometimes the seemingly small amount of results, it's easy if we're not careful to get very discouraged in the work of the Lord. But I pray, Lord, as you begin now in these weeks to prepare our hearts for the weeks ahead where we're going to roll up our sleeves and once again take the seed and fill our bags and go out to the highways and hedges and sow and sow and sow. I pray, Lord, that you would keep these wonderful thoughts, these encouraging thoughts in our minds and our hearts. Help us to continue to do what you've commanded us to do. Lord, remind us from time to time and let us see the results of the power of the Word of God in people's lives. I thank you, Lord, that we get to often see that that seed does find place. The gospel finds place in the heart, dear God, of people. And there are folks that have gotten saved. And Lord, thank you for these that are in our congregation. Even now, folks that were not here just a handful of years ago, but you, Lord, helped us to find them. Some faithful and sometimes discouraged Christian worker was out there on the front line. The devil's doing everything that he could to try to get him to quit. And he just said, get behind me, Satan. I think I'll just keep sowing. I pray that you'd bless, dear God. Use this message in our lives, we pray.